Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It's so good to see you all here. It makes my heart happy. Okay, anybody here a Nittany Lions, a Penn State fan? Come on, see hands. No Penn State fan. Oh, okay, got a Penn State fan. You ready? We are.
Penn State.
We are.
Penn State.
All right. When my wife Joan was at Penn State in her master's, I went there, and I never was to Beaver Stadium before, and the Nittany Lions were playing West Virginia. And you go in there, and they say, we are. I mean, it's, whoa, it blows you away. It's pretty powerful. Any Pittsburgh Steelers fans here?
Yeah.
Still? Okay, you ready? Here we go. Here we go. I remember when my family, we were at the Colosseum in Rome. I had dysentery, and I knew every bathroom in the Colosseum. And I went to the one section. I looked around. The Colosseum is magnificent. And I couldn't resist. I said, here we go, Steelers, here we go. And in the distance, I heard, here we go, Steelers, here we go. I said, whoa. And it was West Allegheny was there. And they responded to the chant. And these are fun. These are wonderful. They get you all pumped up. But I want to tell you, they're nothing compared to this chant. This is the most powerful chant in the world. When you say this with the Holy Spirit in your heart, your dopamine levels go up, your serotonin levels go up. You say it with a smile on your face, and you know the joy of Christ's Spirit in you, and it will go to other people too. You know what that is? Christ is risen! And that's the joy we enter into. You can't say that, folks, without the Holy Spirit in you. So you guys have charisma. You got the Spirit. And we are in this new revolution, this new reality of Easter. That's why we have these beautiful pyramids and the flowers. And everybody's here dressed and they're friends and ready to celebrate the Easter reality, the Easter joy. But you know, it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way, especially on that first Easter. The wonder and joy and vision of Easter, of the empty tomb, was always balanced with disbelief and questions, not joy all the time. It seemed like an idle tale to some. And sometimes people goofed up the story even. It's like the pastor who had a children's sermon on Easter, and the children were up there. And he said, Sally, what's Easter? She said, it's when we color Easter eggs. And the pastor said, well, it's more than that. He said, Johnny, what's Easter? He said, oh, we get chocolate bunnies. And the pastor said, it's still more than that. And then he saw little Billy. Billy, what's the meaning of Easter? Well, Easter's about Jesus and Jesus' love, because he was the Son of God. And he died on the cross. And Beth said, yes, but what? And they put him in a cave. Yeah. And 3 days later, he came out of the cave. Yeah. And he saw his shadow and went back in for 6 weeks. So you got to get the story straight. You can get our stories mixed up. Easter will always give us a mixed reaction of hope and doubt. I mean, it's a mix. You know, in fact, some scholars believe that the Gospel of Luke today ended with these words, but these words seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Some scholars believe that verse 12, where Peter rushes and he sees inside the empty tomb and he was amazed, that was added later. But it must originally ended with, this is an idle tale. It's a bunch of malarkey. The apostles found the women's good news to be empty. Christ is risen! So what? You know, and they did not believe them. In fact, next week we'll hear that a lot of apostles didn't believe. I mean, Thomas didn't believe at first. There were two apostles walking on the road to Emmaus. They didn't believe. There's a lot of disbelief going on. Why all this doubt and despair? I mean, the apostles knew that Jesus said he would suffer death on the cross and 3 days later rise. They believed in the resurrection. I mean, the Pharisees that Jesus often had arguments with, they believed in the resurrection. So why all this disbelief? I mean, the Jews believed that God was going to bring in a new heaven, a new earth, where there'll be harmony and love for all. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the baby will play with snakes and not get hurt. It was going to be a new heaven and new earth, and they believed that God could do this. Well, maybe we can get a clue about this doubt. We look at John's gospel. And there's a section there in John's gospel where Jesus is talking with Lazarus's sister Mary, and he's talking about rising from the dead. It's chapter 11 in John's gospel. She said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." And remember what Jesus says? He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me will live, and even though they die, they will not die. Who believes in me will never die." You see, Easter was not expected. Easter was a surprise. It wasn't. They expected God would act on the day of the Lord, the last day, but it kind of happened too soon. And it makes sense that when you expect something and something different happens, you might have questions about it, about the new heaven and new earth. They didn't expect one person to rise from the dead. They expected it was going to be more everybody. It was going to be a team effort. And after all, on that first Easter Sunday, Rome was still torturing people and putting people on crosses. There was still sickness. There was still illness. Nothing really seemed to have changed. So they had doubts. So, of course, when the women told them, the apostles thought it was an idle tale. You know, I had the joy of an unexpected gift. I got to go to Super Bowl 43 to see the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Arizona Cardinals in Tampa, Florida. It was all paid for. I said, "Wow, this is too good to be true." And it was a great, remember, Santonio Holmes was triple teamed, and he was in the corner, and he got the touchdown pass. Remember James Harrison? 2 yards in the end zone. Arizona was driving, he intercepted, ran all the way back for a touchdown before the half was over. This was a spectacular. The Steelers were the first team to win 6 Super Bowls. We were wonderful. It was a marvelous time. But think about this. What if only Ben Roethlisberger got the Super Bowl ring and the Lombardi Trophy? What if James Harrison didn't get it? Or Charlie Batch or Mike Tomlin? What if it? You say this is ridiculous. Why? Because football is a team sport. Well, to the Pharisees and to the followers of Jesus, resurrection was a team sport. It was about everybody rising. So they were surprised revolution happened with this Jesus as one person. And some people are still skeptical about the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, like the disciples were, because they believe that it's an idle tale. But, you know, 2,000 years, this story's been going on and on and on and on. So we're here today. Something's going on. But we are a scientific people. We are rational people. We're modern people. This is 2025, right? I mean, we don't believe in sudden superstitious kind of stuff like those people. They were ignorant back then. But you know, the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis calls this kind of thinking chronological snobbery. Chronological snobbery. Because you see, the ancient people weren't stupid. They know that when you were dead, you were dead. Now, I read about a woman who was looking out her window at her neighbor's house, and they didn't get along, the neighbors. And she saw her German shepherd grabbing their pet rabbit and shaking the life out of it. And the woman was horrified. She got a broom and she hit the German shepherd and she got the very dead rabbit. It was dead as a doornail. And she didn't know what to do. So she got the dead bunny and took it in the house, washed it, blow-dried its hair, combed it out. It looked better than when it was alive. She took it over and propped it up against the cage. An hour later, she heard screaming, and she goes and sees her neighbor screaming, and she said, "What's the matter? What's the matter? What's going on?" And she said, "Our rabbit, it's back. It died 2 weeks ago. We buried it, and it's back." Well, you know, we know that dead rabbits remain dead. And the ancient people knew that dead rabbis remain dead. And when resurrection would happen the last day, it would be for everyone, not just one person. Resurrection was viewed as a team sport. And remember, there were many messiahs back in Jesus' day. He wasn't the only messiah. So if your messiah died on the cross, you could go back to fishing or tax collecting or being a zealot, whatever you wanted to do. Or you could find a new messiah if you wanted to. That's fine if your messiah died. But here's the thing. The tomb was empty. There was no one there. And the woman believed the news of those two guys in flashing white. They believed it. And they went and told this great good news that he lived. It wasn't somebody stole the body. I mean, don't think the Romans, if they stole the body, they'd have found the body. It wasn't wishful thinking, because if it was wishful thinking, you wouldn't have apostles going to their death in the Colosseum saying Jesus Christ is Lord and not Caesar. But something happened here. It wasn't wish fulfillment. This whole season of Easter, this whole 50 days, is about us living into a new reality where love is victorious, where kindness is not soft power, but hard power, that we start knowing by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in 50 days, the reality of God in our lives and the breaking of the bread and the people that going. The revolution has begun. Otherwise, there's a story by the great Danish thinker Søren Kierkegaard. And he said, you know, if there wasn't a resurrection, then life is like if you get a stone and you skip it on the water. And life is like, skip, it's wonderful. And all of a sudden, drops. That's it. So you work hard, you live your life, and then someday you're dead. And that's it. But there's resurrection. If there's Easter, there's a new possibility here. If Jesus lives, and he does live, then there's a whole new reality. A whole new world opens up. And get this. Who proclaimed the first Easter gospel? Was it the men? No, they didn't do it. Who was it? The women. You know how much credibility women had in first century Palestine? Zero. So if they're trying to make a story up, the apostles, that about this Jesus, they would not use the women as protagonists. So if it really happened, if this is real, then they were recording what really happened. If Easter happened, it's happened. And then we are called to wake up. Oh, yeah, we watch the news, and it's depressing. I mean, I'm surprised I didn't jump off a bridge by now. But there's new reality. Jesus Christ lives. That's a new potential. Love lives. Kindness is powerful. Even if somebody rejects your kindness, the kindness that comes from the Holy Spirit and God, we do it anyway. Remember Jesus, he shows us. I mean, read Jesus' life. I'm on the cross. They spit on him, and they're killing him, and he's dying. He says, "Father, forgive them." His love never changes. And those of us who open to Jesus in our lives, that love will be for us too. It will have that kind of power. And for those who believe in Jesus, especially when it comes to death, we don't have to fear the death, because the tomb's empty. The tomb's empty. That means the place of death becomes, the tomb becomes the womb for new life, new birth, new imagination, new possibilities. You don't give up in this world, even though there's hardship. We know there's a more powerful force always. Love, Jesus Christ lives. Life lives. Life is good. And life is for us and for all people. You know, Helen Keller, I read about her a lot, and they had the wonderful play about her with Annie Sullivan. And Helen Keller had to overcome so many physical problems. But she did. And somebody once asked her, she said, is blindness, you can't see the beauty of spring, you can't see the flowers, is that the worst thing? She said, no. Well, what's the worst thing? Is to live without vision. To live without seeing the good possibilities. To live without hope, without meaning. That life is a wonderful gift. And the afterlife is a wonderful gift. And God's love never fails. And is always with you to the end of time and beyond. I hope you can take that away with you, this vision of Easter. We are! No, this is better than that. Here we go! No, this is better than that. Come on, let's say what's really the best thing. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Live into that reality. Open to that reality. Surrender to that reality, because the strength of God will work through you to give hope to you and those around you, and be ready for the wonderful final Easter when Christ comes as victorious Lord of all. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.